After the Indian subcontinent was partitioned into India and Pakistan, fighting broke out in Kashmir, leading the families of Sanan Keshki and Geeta Patel to leave. Although Kashmir is majority Muslim, only part of this northern territory is controlled by Pakistan and the rest by India. As a result, the Indian area, which is called Jammu and Kashmir, has been a source of tension and a number of conflicts between the two countries. Sanan Keshki is a Muslim and Geeta Patel is Hindu. If they'd met in Kashmir, it would have been difficult, if not impossible, for them to even socialize, but they were able to become friends here in America. And they wanted to know what life was like for ordinary Kashmiris and how they would like to see the conflict resolved. So they've collaborated on a documentary called Project Kashmir, which airs tonight on PBS at 10 p.m. I'm pleased that it brings them, along with one of the participants in their film, journalist Aarti Tikko Singh, to our show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Sanan and Geeta, how did the two of you meet? Let's begin with you, Sanan.
We were both living in Los Angeles at the time, and we were on the board of this arts organization called Artvala, which is a organization that works with diasporic arts. And Geeta was working in the theater section, and I was curating film. And so Geeta came to me and said she was interested in working on a novel about the region, and she knew I was making films. So she said, why don't we get together and go together and make a film?
Are you still friends, Geeta, in the same way that you were before you made the trip and collaborated on the film?
Yes, we are. Actually, the making of the film was something that really required both of us to lean on each other, because we both had the common goal to tell a film, tell a story that would contain both communities. And so that goal is what kept us together. We didn't want to tell a story that only one community would listen to. That's what had been done before. We wanted to create a film that would take Muslims and Hindus and Kashmiris of all backgrounds and allow them to experience the story together and accept it. So that was really important, to create dialogue over this specific subject matter.
Well, you probably both grew up thinking a lot about Kashmir. Your families told you stories. How old were you when you left Sanan?
I was born in Pakistan, actually, and my family came to the United States, actually came to New York when I was just 1 year old. But we would go back and forth between India and Pakistan all the time, since they went to Pakistan after partition. So, we heard about Kashmir all the time. That issue and the Palestine issue were the issues that were spoken about quite a bit in our family.
Well, Salman Rushdie talks about Kashmir as having been something of an Eden when he was a kid growing up there, and he is very sad about the fact that it's turned into such an area of conflict. Did your family come from the area, Geeta?
No, actually, my family is from Gujarat, India, and I was born in the United States. Growing up, I came from a very strong Hindu community, and there was always a lot of discussion about Kashmir and a lot of negativity, I would say, in my community towards Muslims and towards Pakistan. And as I, started traveling, it was something that really bothered me, this idea that these two communities were so divided, and the issue of Kashmir was, in fact, such an issue to people who had never been there and didn't know much about the people. So creating a film that brought something to the table, of humanity and who these people really were and what the subject was about was important.
Aarti, do you have any roots in Kashmir?
Absolutely. I come from Kashmir, southern Kashmir, a town called Anantnag. I was born and brought up in Anantnag, and we migrated from Anantnag to Jammu, which is the southern part of the state, in 1990. Mm-hmm. We moved because of the insurgency.
Because it was too dangerous to live there?
The period between 87 to 89 became too dangerous. The Kashmiri Pandit community was targeted, and my family became a part of this mass exodus out of the valley. Almost 300,000 Kashmiri Pandits moved out of Kashmir at the time. Pandits being the minority community in Kashmir Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Kashmir Valley is a part of Jammu and Kashmir state, which has three regions: Kashmir Valley, Ladakh region, and Jammu region. Kashmir Valley is the Muslim majority region of the state.
Before partition, didn't Muslims and Hindus live together peacefully? in Kashmir?
Absolutely. Kashmir has a long past of communal harmony. And till 1980s, Kashmiri Pandits and Kashmiri Muslims lived very cordially. In fact, except for 1986 communal rights, there had been no record of communal rights in Kashmir.
Since Jammu and Kashmir is majority Muslim and has been a drain on India's resources, the cause of so much conflict, including a couple of wars, why does India continue to be so attached to it?
Well, I'll give an example of a story that I was told when I was in India while we were making this film. A well-known politician actually said to me that we're never going to release our hold on Kashmir because if you look at the amount of the cost per person, per population, it's only 1 cent for each person. So financially for us, it is definitely, it's not a problem to continue this long-held belief. But I think the actual problem that stems from is the water issue in Kashmir.
Because it seems to me it would be very expensive. India has to maintain a larger army. There is, if anything, the development of nuclear weapons in the standoff between India and Pakistan is largely because of the conflicts over Kashmir.
Well, also, just to add, I think we all have different opinions. I don't really think it's water. I think it may be more of emotion. I mean, we are talking about a place where people have lost family members at this point. Something that may have started social, political, economical, which I think all of these things had to do with it. Eventually, people lost family members, lost their homes like Arthi did, lost their sense of freedom like other people in the film did. And at that point, it's emotional. And so it's impossible to separate, and ask a question at this point, well, what's the logical answer? I think logic and emotion both play a part in these types of conflict zones, as we've seen in other parts of the world, and they're what perpetuate these conflict zones to keep going. Anybody who's listening who doesn't understand, well, why can't Israel and Palestine stop what they're doing? Why can't Kashmir figure it out? It's because you have to hear the stories of the people. You have to understand the emotion behind these places to get why a lot of these people will fight till they die because they're that angry or they're that upset by what they lost. And it's very, very important to share these stories rather than information.
From Indian perspective, I think the answer lies in the fact that India rejected two-nation theory. It rejected the establishment of a state on the basis of religion. And Kashmir, that is not only political but also a religious issue, sort of brings back that idea that, a Muslim majority community wants a separate state or independence or wants to secede from India, goes back to the same idea, this idea of separation, the idea of partition, the idea of two-nation theory. And I think, for India, it's very uncomfortable to accept that idea, especially because India has believed in secularism. India is a diverse country. It has Muslims, it has Hindus, it has Sikhs, it has Buddhists. So for India, principally, it does not really gel with the principles on which India was set up.
But that's the ideal. The fact of the matter is India has had a lot of ethnic conflict within its own borders, and to stand on principle when the fact of the matter is that there was this partition based on religion, whether that was a good idea or not, that's just a fact of life that goes back since 1948.
Absolutely right. But India has been trying to resolve conflicts within the parameters of the secular constitution we have. We have problems in Northeast. We have problems in Naxal areas of India, and we have had Khalistani insurgency in Punjab, which was eventually resolved. And India's, endeavor is to resolve it through peaceful means, through dialogue, and not. I don't think India will ever accept the idea of any community seeking secession on the basis of religion.
Gita, what was the political situation in Kashmir when you went there? Did you go after the devastating earthquake in 2005?
We were actually there during the earthquake, just before. Sinan and I took two trips to Kashmir to make this film. The first trip we made the year before the earthquake, and the second was the year of the earthquake. And the political situation, honestly, Sinan, you jump in, but I think it was pretty much at a status quo. It feels like it's a roller coaster ride. Things get better, and then they just fall apart. They get better and fall apart. And the question that we ask ourselves, and many of the Kashmiris we've met have asked, is, you know, what is the fundamental change we need to make? Although politics may change and, you know, peace treaties are signed, are the people actually feeling like they are overcoming whatever, you know, anger, resentment, situations, problems are at the heart of the conflict? And one thing that doesn't make things any easier is the idea of elections, because obviously if you have an election in India or in Pakistan, nobody wants to be the person who lost Kashmir, and it's become the holy grail of both, you know, both countries. So elections, in my opinion, make things worse because it becomes politicized instead of something that's really, you know, something you have to look at independently and say, wait a minute, we have this much bloodshed. If we could just do this, it would make the violence, you know, at least decrease the violence.
Well, there have been calls for plebiscites ever since there
right,
was partition.
And they haven't been able to hold the election for the people. But I think that one of the reasons, the main causes of this also, is that during the partition, there was, you know, a Hindu ruler of Kashmir, and the majority population was Muslim. And when partition was happening, one of the rules of disengagement between the two countries, or the creation of Pakistan, was that if there was a Muslim population, that state would go to Pakistan. And that's been contested ever since.
My guests are Sinan Keshki, Geeta Patel, and Aarti Tiku Singh. We're talking about Kashmir, actually the film called Project Kashmir, which will air tonight at 10 o'clock on Channel 13 here in New York and on PBS stations around the country. So let me ask both of you, Sinan and Geeta, what did your families tell you about Kashmir before you went, and what were the biggest misconceptions you had, you discovered that you had about the area?
For me, this being Muslim Pakistani, I heard stories mostly about how beautiful and how romantic and lush and exotic. And my grandparents had their honeymoon there, and this was kind of the place that you saw in Bollywood films. So for me, it was this Shangri-La, so to speak. I never heard the stories of the Kashmiri Pandits. I didn't know the story of the Pandits or the Kashmiri Hindus, known as Pandits. So as I was making this film, I showed clips of the footage to my family, and they were actually very surprised, because those stories were the stories that you didn't hear in Pakistan, or you didn't hear mostly abroad.
Was it dangerous, Geeta?
It was dangerous. I think any conflict zone fundamentally is dangerous, but it's more dangerous for the people, obviously, who live there. So I think for us, it's difficult to feel that danger in a way that we can really legitimize, because we're dealing with people like Aarti and Muzamil and Khurram, who, you know, have a much greater stake in that danger.
Well, one of the people you call the guide, who mm-hmm. Is heard but not seen, mm-hmm. gives you advice. He says, trust no one. Be cool and diplomatic.
Right. Well, the guide, that's a good example. In Kashmir, there's always someone watching you. There's always someone following you. They know where you are at all times. Many journalists up until this point have been kicked out of Kashmir, have not, even human rights groups have, many of them have not been allowed back. There are some human rights groups there that kind of have a limited range of movement and work. And so when you're there, the people that you talk to are also afraid that when you leave, they're going to be targeted. And that happened to a couple of people who worked with us, you know, that they were questioned after we left. So that person in the film, who's our deep throat, he was giving us information that allowed us to make a film that truly got below the surface. And we had to keep him anonymous in order to you know, take advantage of that information and still show how difficult it is for people to speak.
Well, you also talked to journalists and other people, all of them with conflicting stories?
Yeah, Arti and Muzamil, our two journalists.
And you know, in that conflict lies the answer in some way. If people leave this film asking questions and being confused, then we've really done our job on some level, because if there was a simple answer and if there was a simple resolution, the war would be over and we wouldn't need to make these documentaries anymore. You know, that's something that's really important to us.
Arti, yesterday Amnesty International went to Srinagar to look into human rights abuses. And they were given access for the first time because the Indian government finally allowed them in. Why have they mistrusted them in the past?
I think India is guilty of committing human rights violations in Kashmir. That is the fact of the story. But the amount of human rights violation that we get to hear might not be, you know, as big as it's claimed. But I think India is very insecure about how it's being projected at the international level, how it's being projected even at the national level. So I think definitely the state has tried to maneuver and conceal the facts for a long time about human rights violation.
Geeta and Sanan, did you find yourselves being pulled, your loyalties being pulled by the group that you would naturally be connected to?
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, the version that's on television is the shorter version of the film, but the feature-length version focuses much more on the story of Geeta and myself. I mean, when we first went, you know, being American South Asians of first, second generation, it wasn't the first thing that came to our topic that we would talk about religion. So once we arrived there, we were being defined by our religion, and not just our religions, but our countries of origin. Whereas we considered ourselves Americans, South Asian Americans, we were actually being seen as an Indian and a Pakistani. And actually that was the religious part of it is actually secondary. It was the original country of origin. So I definitely found myself feeling like I was falling in love with the Kashmiri Muslim voice and community, and felt a great alliance to them, because what I saw was a great injustice by the Indians army in Kashmir.
Geeta, did that create some tension between you and Sanan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I felt like all of a sudden when we went to Kashmir, like Sanan said, I felt like I was Hindu and I was Indian in a way that I never felt I was those definitions before. And, you know, all the things that Sanan was feeling as far as anger towards the army and, you know, everyone there, a lot of people felt extremely angry and passionate about what they saw the Indian Army doing. I felt very much like I was held responsible for that and accountable for it. And people would ask me in a way that was very accusing. And so I started to internalize that. And it's not that different, honestly, from a lot of the things that we go through in the United States as members of our communities. You know, we still have racial tensions, issues, community issues. But I had never understood how that felt until I went there. And again, we're coming back to emotion, not logic, but emotion.
We actually did a screening here in New York at our premiere at Human Rights Watch, and a woman stood up afterwards at the Q&A and said, you know, I get it. I totally get Kashmir. And we're like, okay, great. What are you going to say? And she said, I'm from the Bronx. Like, you know, I get it. Like, it's like that, you know, that I don't mix with this crowd and they don't mix with us. And so, you know, people see themselves.
By the way, congratulations for working with the Academy Award-winning cinematographer Ross Kaufman. That makes the film look even more beautiful. But I assume some people were uncomfortable that you were even traveling with a cameraman.
You know, we joke about it. We say, you know, the joke is, you know, Muslim, a Hindu, and a Jew go to Kashmir, you know. But it actually worked really well for us because Ross is such a talented filmmaker, and he gets along so well with people. And that's the way we sort of represented ourselves as people, not, you know, as, you know, ethnicities or religions or backgrounds.
The shortened version of the film is being shown tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock. It's called Project Kashmir. My great thanks to the filmmakers, Sanan Keshki and Geeta Patel, and to journalist Arti Tikosingh for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.